I think it's interesting. I mean, because every image that you shoot, I mean, that's the art of it, isn't it? Like a moving image, and these, so it's being changed, and obviously it actually changes the intention, you know, of what people, how people will read the same scene. And as a director, it must be an interesting, you know, we don't have that in other forums. You know, you don't say, oh, well, in theater, you don't say, oh, we change, you don't get to change it. I mean, but, you know, this format actually changes the viewer's view of the same piece of art. I think that's interesting. Some people are, you know, diehards are concerned about that it'll take away the 90s, you know, realism by changing the format. But then others are happy that it's going to open up a whole new fan base that would otherwise probably never watch it, because on computer screens, the square, you know, it cuts off, it's different. So this is going to make it more viable for people to watch it on their computers and download it. So I think the good definitely outweighs the bad, and that's what David is, why he probably is fine with it, you know. It's so funny. It was my first television show, so I had, after doing all kinds of theater where the 200 people that were in the audience any given night were the only people that saw your work, I had no clue of the vastness of television. So when Dominic West said to me after shooting one of our first scenes that, oh, 2 million of our closest friends will be watching us, you know, do this love scene in a few weeks, it was very shocking to me. But then to come to find out that 2 million is nothing, the average viewers, I think at that time, may have been like 4 million, compared to The Sopranos and Sex and the City, which were getting, you know, so many more.
Yeah.
It was hard to believe that we were considered small potatoes and kind of the underdog of the HBO network, which word of mouth has become this cult classic that's really going to stand the test of time. And that's a testament to the writing. When The Wire was on the seasons, we were competing with The Sopranos and Sex and the City. So when I originally got the role, I didn't have an agent. And so when I moved to New York and was meeting with agents and said I was on an HBO series, they were like, which one? And I said, well, The Wire. And I was very excited. And they were all kind of like, what? What's that? You know, I mean, it was, and that, it had already been out 2 seasons. So where it was a big deal, 4 million viewers was nothing compared to these other huge shows. And so it's a testament to the writing and that it will have the longevity. Just very lucky to have gotten on the show that, you know, will stand the test of time. You know, I think it's the vision of David and the risks that they were willing to take. That's why it now is still viable in a way, you know, because you could have these great shows that were fabulous at the time, and 10 years from now, we look at them and say, wow, that's so dated, you know. But when we were on the set, a lot of times, the shooting took place, you know, right in Baltimore. When we were in a hotel room, we were in a hotel room in the harbor of Baltimore. All of my scenes were shot in restaurants, in Little Italy. They weren't on, you know, stages or anything. So I think all of that, these places, and it was a lot of actors, but a lot of locals. I mean, the bouncers from the strip clubs were the bouncers and that were guarding my trailer in the ghetto areas when we were shooting. You know, we were really a part of the communities. And I think a lot of shows really don't reflect in a way the communities that they're portraying. It's like the Hollywood version. But these, you can't take The Wire out of Baltimore. They really kept it down to earth. And they also didn't overstay their welcome on a subject, you know, which is a big risk, which is probably why they didn't necessarily at the time have the viewers, because television wasn't ready for it. You know, it was a foreground for what was going to happen, and they were the ones pushing the envelope. And usually those kind of shows don't get recognized in real time, like most good art. So I played, you know, I ran the campaign of my high school buddy. There was a reference to maybe we had a relationship or something in high school, but he hires me in to win a non-winnable campaign. And so we have to do a lot of strategies to get a white man elected in Baltimore at the time was not going to happen. So we had to, so you see that process. But then I had this other like side story, which is so interesting for me, having working on this political campaign with Carchetti, but also just happening to run into McNulty I only know their real names, you see. I'm like Dominic, Aiden.
Right.
But McNulty, you know, we run into each other at a PTA meeting and strike up an affair. So there was like two storylines going there for a while for me. And that was really fun because I got to dabble on both ends of the script. You know, every time I got a script, I was like, who am I playing with today? You know, what side? Is it the campaign or is it the police wire drama? So it was really exciting, and to be working with all these veterans, but also feeling like one of the gang. I mean, there was no hierarchy on that set, which I really appreciated. There was no sense of big stars because even the big wigs got killed off, which was another thing about The Wire that was so different. It's like, you know, they held no mercy for any of their major characters, which is such a relief because that's real life, you know. They didn't say, okay, but our big character never dies, you know. Aiden and I struck it up right away because he didn't mind rehearsing with me, which I, as I said, as a theater actor and someone really green and young to the scene, I was a deer in headlights every time they said, okay, pictures up, let's go, rehearsal. And it was like all of a sudden my words were gone, you know. So the first day I was so nervous and I just said, can we run lines? And he was like, let's run lines. And I just said it was really helpful because a lot of times on television sets and movie sets, you know, the actors, the last thing that they're worried about, there's some, you know, it's about the lighting, it's about all these other tracking and the cameras and you know, craft services. A lot of times it has nothing to do with the actor, so you really have to take care of yourself and do your work. And I really appreciated that about him. Both Aiden and Dominic have accents as well off camera. So that was really interesting because as an American actress, I always had to do, you know, standard British accents and things like that in theater. But here I was working with an Irish actor who Aiden had a very thick Irish accent. So here he was, like, you know, in daily life, you know,
yeah,
cursing and bantering in Irish. And then he'd whip out this American accent when we were on the set. And the same with McNulty. You know, he's British. So, you know, when we're chatting, he had a British accent. And then, you know, we'd go on and I would always laugh. And I'd correct them, you know, in between takes. You know, you might want to add an R to that word or something. But they were both very generous, but in both very different. You know, McNulty, Dominic had been doing it, you know, for 3 seasons. So he was relaxed and ran the show. And he was just kind of like, here we go, let's do my thing. And he had his character really set, where Aiden and I were much more like trying to grapple with what we were doing. And another thing, as my character, I didn't have the storyline. You know, when these guys were hired, they were hired on contractually and had their storyline intact. Maybe not, they didn't have scripts or anything, but they knew where they were going. They were going to be running for a mayor, and they were going to get their ex-girlfriend or whoever to run the campaign, et cetera, et cetera. I knew nothing. So making choices as an actor that way was very difficult because I didn't know how many episodes I was going to be in. I didn't know the arc of the character that we were going to win the campaign, and I was going to, you know, because they try to keep that stuff all tight-lipped. Me not having an agent and not having anyone really representing me or asking those questions, and me not knowing that I could ask those questions until like the third episode I was in. Aiden was like, oh yeah, don't you know that this is what's going to happen? And I was like, no, I'm just happy to be here, you know? So I learned really on the job, and now in any other television show that I would do, of course I would ask these questions, but it's fun when it's your first time, you really don't know what you're doing. The first meeting Dominic and I had was the affair scene. So that was interesting. So we're meeting and it's like, hi. Actually, we walked together from our trailers that were out on the harbor and we were going into the hotel, but I had never done a scene like that for television. So I was not in any way, I mean, of course I was nervous because I didn't know what was expected. But I had done a lot of theater, so I was like, okay, this is pretty normal. But I had no clue how to, there were a lot of logistics that I didn't know what am I wearing and how is this going to go down? And so they had me in a robe in my trailer and I had to walk with Dominic and with some handler to the hotel. And I just thought that was funny because there I'm like my second time on the set, but it was my first time working with Dominic. We just made sure that we were both comfortable with what we were doing but it was a hell of a way to meet. And then afterwards we, you know, had a glass of wine and that was lovely. So yeah, he was really easy to work with. But everyone was on the set. Like I said, you could sense that no one was going to play big wig on that set. Everyone was there for a reason and everyone was doing their job, you know. I did not get nearly enough time with any of those guys. The fun time I had was when David Simon's birthday was the day that we shot the scene in the hotel room where I was laying on the bed naked. And so it was like one of those days where you're like, oh yeah, just another day's work, when I had a scene with McNulty. And so I met a friend that was in Baltimore that day after I was done shooting, and I went to the bar and I got a call from Dominic saying, we forgot it's David Simon's birthday. We have to do something. Are you still in town? Come up. You know, it was one of these like, so Dominic arranged for a case of champagne to come to that hotel room that we were shooting in. And we all popped a case of champagne and ended up going out that night to see Idris DJing in one of the clubs in Baltimore. So that was a fun night. And it was funny because I was in a cotton skirt with Tevas and a cotton tank top, because I started shooting at 6 a.m. and had no idea that by midnight I was going to be at a club, you know, raging and, you know, it's HBO's The Wire in the house. You know, those are the kind of days you never forget. But, you know, everyone had a role and I didn't really get to hang out with Funk. I'm sure he was fantastic, you know, on the set. And Clay Davis was awesome. That night, Isaiah Whitlock is his name, was hanging out with us, and he was very generous and very sweet, kind of keeping me in the crew, and I love that. And also William Delaney, he was also really great to me. I hadn't been invited to the New York City premiere of season 3, I guess because I was a younger actress and I hadn't come out yet or whatever. I was invited to the Baltimore screening, but when he realized that I wasn't invited, he gave me his extra ticket, so I went as his date, and it was really eye-opening. I mean, to get to go to a New York City premiere, go on a red carpet of my own show was really nice of him to, you know. And Andre Royo, Bubbles, really great. I know everyone loved working with him. And most of the directors did not say a word to the actors, not in a bad way. But they're looking at monitors, what's the whole outlook. And they trust that when I know he handpicked me because his now wife, at the time girlfriend, Laura Lippman, at the premiere in New York said, oh, you're the local hire. David, I saw your audition tape. So he was concerned because I didn't have any, I was new, but she was, you know, she said, take a risk on her, you know, and I'm really appreciative of him for doing that, because I think The Wire and I are very similar. Like, we're the underdogs that come out from behind, you know, and I like that kind of work. I think he recognized that in my audition. And so I think once he hired the people, he let them do their thing. So a lot of times the monitors weren't even in the room where we were shooting. So you're just dealing with the DP or whoever's kind of directing the scene. It's just like, okay, picture's up. Are you ready to go? Let's rehearse it. But there was really not much tweaking. They really didn't tell me to do any acting notes. It was more like off screen where they're real people. I mean, the only time I really got to hang out with David was premiere in New York, and where they just said, oh, you know, they told you these little stories of, oh yeah, you were the local hire, and we auditioned in London and in New York and LA, but we didn't want her to be the what you saw on TV already, that Law and Order, you know, typical attorney, and I certainly didn't have any of that in my audition because I didn't watch TV and I didn't even own a suit, which I was, you know, I just put on a shirt and I wasn't really sure. I had never watched The Wire before my audition because I couldn't afford cable, which I kind of think helped me a little bit. Otherwise, I would have been nervous and overwhelmed at the audition, but luckily I didn't know what I was getting into. So when I got the role, you know, I just got a personal call because I hadn't had an agent. And I was living in D.C. at the time, in a tiny studio apartment, and my friends were there when I happened to get the call, so I was very excited. But then it was months before we actually started shooting. I thought, oh no, like, I don't even have a phone number to call these guys back and ask them when I'm going to start shooting, you know. And then finally, I got a call, and they said, okay, so we're going to send you a script, and you're going to start shooting in you know, 2 weeks or something. And when I got to the set was when I actually signed my Screen Actors Guild contract. I mean, it was really exciting because I'd only been extras on things and I was, you know, doing, like I said, mostly theater. So this was like, I had hit the big time, you know, in a lovely fashion. So I have a master's degree in acting from Ohio University. So I studied acting for a long time. And then I moved to New York because I figured I had to. And instantly was told that I needed to take classes and get to know, in order to get an agent, I was going to have to, you know, get in with all, and I was so exhausted and overwhelmed about that idea because I was a master of acting. I was, you know, and I really had great training. So, but I was really unaware of the business aspect of like that now I was going to have to pay my way into getting an agent, and that just pissed me off. So I was dating a guy at the time who was going to American University. And so I decided to abandon the New York track, because I knew that I would never make it there in my mind, because I was going to have to wait tables and fight my way up to the top. And I'd done some professional theater. I got my equity card through the Contemporary American Theater Festival, which is in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, really close to D.C., where they do all new American plays in a summer atmosphere. So all the people that work there are all from New York. You know, it's a little festival town where they come in for the summer. And so I got to work. My first professional show in the theater was there. So I got to work with a bunch of kids from Juilliard and NYU. And I learned quickly that, you know, I was going to be climbing up a ladder, that I didn't have any ins. So I said, you know what, I just need to work. If I keep working, people will see my work and I will make it. If I go to New York and start waiting tables, I will never work again. That was my idea. So I moved to D.C. and then I just started auditioning because they have a lot of small professional theaters in the area, Baltimore, and people had seen my work at the Contemporary American Theater Festival, where I got to originate some really great roles. So then I started getting work at Ford's Theater, Woolly Mammoth, Theater J, you know, this kind of thing. And from that is how I got an audition with Pat Moran Casting, which was a local casting agent out of Baltimore for this role. And I don't know if at the time they knew it was going to be a big role or, you know, a good role, or if it was just going to be a one-off. No one told me anything. It was just, I went in literally from a cold call. Someone said, called me in and said, hey, we have your headshot here. Will you come in? So it's so exciting to me that this has happened, because I always, you know, it's like trusting your instincts. You know, and then I finally moved to New York because I had everyone, Aiden and Dominic, and they're like, what are you doing? Like, you really need to get an agent and move to the big time, you know. And I did that, and I still never really liked it. The business of it, it's very, it doesn't suit me. It doesn't inspire me. So as an artist, I feel very conflicted about it. You know, living in a tiny apartment in New York City didn't feed me. So I ended up moving out of the city to Beacon, New York, which is on the Hudson River, just north of the city, where I can commute. I'm doing it now on the train. And I love it much better. I have some grass. I love the people. It's very friendly. And that's where I moved next door to a director of documentaries. By chance, we both move at the same exact time. And now we have a movie actress, which has never been done before. And it's, you know, and it's really put me on the map again. And it's another example of, you know, me following my instinct. Every TV show I turn on, I mean, I was just watching Boardwalk Empire. To every episode, if there are guest stars or every show I turn on, I can say I know someone in it, and that's exciting. But for me, I didn't even have an agent at the time, so all these guys already had agents when they were on The Wire, so they just continued on their merry way doing the normal route. I, on the other hand, got pregnant with my first child before we shot the second season. So that halted 2 years of my career right there, even though I had gotten an agent. But what do you do when you're like, okay, you're 9 months pregnant? There aren't many roles. And then my priorities shifted instantly. I definitely wanted to focus on my family and my children. So that took me out of the field by happenstance. And then, so I was thinking about getting back into acting, but had no idea how. Because, you know, time is everything. And if you step out of this business, it's unforgiving, especially as an older woman. I mean, I didn't, and how do I do it? And not, it's a really hard business because you don't make much money unless you make a lot of money. I mean, it's crazy. The average actor that's working is what, like $7,500 a year. I read that or something of in actor's equity. It's just ridiculous. And now I'm supporting a family and my partner was opening restaurants and to go into the city would have cost me $100. So is it going to cost me money to audition again? So anyway, it was just a hard line to follow. And then my neighbor, who is a documentary filmmaker, wanted to start his fourth feature film. He started watching The Wire, couldn't believe that his, you know, housewife neighbor, you know, on The Wire, on the greatest television show of all time, is how he puts it. Because he was just, and so he just kind of became consumed with this idea. And he was also consumed with the idea of performance and documentary. He was already writing about nonfiction cinema where the role of real people are playing the roles of themselves. So I was an ideal candidate to start filming because I'm an actress. So what is it to film an actress being herself in a documentary? And so he had all of these, you know, technical ideas, but how are we going to pursue it? And I was resistant at first because I was like, I didn't want to be exploited. I didn't think I was that interesting. I didn't want to be in a reality show. I wasn't quite sure what the purpose was. But after a while, the thought of doing a project and my artistic sense took over. And I finally gave in, and we started filming. And 18 months later, we had a really incredible, interesting piece of art. I mean, and he said it was going to go somewhere. I didn't believe it. But today, it's like number four on a non-fixed poll of the year taken by journalists. You know, we just keep getting on all these amazing lists, and I can't believe we're like up there with the top 10 lists of all films, not even documentaries, because right. It really rides the line. And it continued. It's taken me around the world. I mean, I was in Copenhagen and Italy and Montreal and all in November. So I'm just trying to keep up with the pace and momentum that actress is now giving me a platform again as an actor, and I couldn't be happier.